So
hey.
This is Catherine.
Hey, hi. Hi, can I grab you for a second? This is Pat.
This is Kat.
And this is Seek Treatment, a podcast about boy sex, fucking, and love.
You know what made me laugh? So the other day, I was with a dear friend of the pod, my girl Lena, Alex Arthur, and we were sitting with my mom at an outdoor cafe, and Alex sat down, and she like kind of came late, and the waitresses were like, oh, can I get you something? And she's like, can I just grab a vodka martini? To grab, like, just, I love the phrase, can I grab?
The way we use grab.
I'll just grab a vodka martini. Like, I'm picturing like her fist like over the lip of the glass. I'll just grab a vodka martini. So what we were talking about before we started recording, which is kind
Wait, sorry. Let me just open this kind of diner car feed.
Ooh, did you have that Delorvard?
I had delivered, which is so, it's so like eye roll to have coffee delivered, like, you know what I mean, like,
because it's like they get me
from
started.
A diner, no less. I mean, they wrap it as, I mean, and I understand it's like, there's no winning, there's no way to do it, but what they've settled on is truly wrapping coffee up in like
napkins.
A million saran wrap layers.
Don't
napkins
even
on top
me.
And then a million saran. It just feels really crazy opening it, even though I'm sure it accomplishes like the job as much as can be accomplished. It just feels so crazy. It feels like I'm in my asylum room locked up and I've been brought my morning coffee, and that's how they serve it in the asylum.
But you know, there are some really elite institutions that have one of those machines where they can like seal the top of the cup.
Oh, I've
Y'all
never
even
seen
know?
That.
I think I got that one.
That hasn't made it to Bushwick yet.
I too have had coffee delivered this week, and I was, you know what was really sad? I ordered from, you know him, you love him, Gregory's Coffee.
Wow.
Which is really bleak. Because I wanted, like, they had some breakfast pastries that I was kind of treating myself to that.
What's so funny about Gregory's Coffee, and what rings true to me about Gregory's Coffee, is that their logo looks like a guy I was hooking up with in my 20s, I always felt.
That's the universal experience of shopping at Gregory's for coffee. It's sort I'm seeing my ex.
I'm seeing the top of my ex's head. If you don't, because Gregory's is from New York, I believe. I don't think it's elsewhere. So what people need to know about Gregory's Coffee.
I can see it being secretly from like Ohio. I'm like trying so hard.
Maybe, but it's not, I've only ever seen it in Manhattan. I don't even see it in the outer boroughs. And I mean, when we talk about Ohio, we're talking about an extremely outer borough.
That is one of the most outer boroughs.
And so Gregory's has a logo where it just is the top of a man's head, that, and the man has glasses on. Mm-hmm. And it's just the top of his head. And so if you did hook up with someone who did wear glasses who had a top of a head in your 20s, then you're going to be thinking about that when you get Gregory's. And
you're
gonna
connect with that.
You're going to connect with that. You're going to relate to that in a sexual and erotic way.
Now, let me tell you something. Because what we were talking about is that running is really a full-time job. You might notice I haven't used Strava in a few days.
I know. I haven't been getting my little kudos from you.
I'm going to do Strava today, I decided, because I have the time and space to create that.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, since he's mentioned Strava on the pod, I've gotten a bunch of like pod listener followers, and it's a little creepy scary because I'm like, oh gosh, every time I run, I'm like,
oh, is that I had some followers too. I was kind of like, how do people know I'm on Strava? And then I forget that I do this podcast with my friend.
We do this podcast.
I actually sometimes can't believe that this continues to kind of be broadcasted every week. Like,
I know.
Especially because when we used to come in, it at least felt like we were definitely making something together. This feels really like we're.
I
like
know.
Just being on the computer together, it's like, we need an actual patron, like a rich person, not someone who pays $5 a month online. We need an actual rich, like, just give us a studio.
I used to have this fan that I thought was rich, but I haven't heard from him in a while.
I had a fan. Reach out.
If you're my fan who I thought was rich, please reach out.
Do you know what's so okay? Here, I just need to talk about this, and it's not exciting, and it's not interesting, and you're not gonna like it.
Okay, but first, I just have to say, I'm sorry, just to say that I can't
no,
get this. I can't get this but I'm calling it a chord. I know it's not a chord. I can't get this out of my head, this line. Fell in love with a careful man's careless daughter. No, careless man's careful daughter. You were the best thing that's ever been mine. Do you know that?
What song is that?
Taylor Swift. The song Taylor Swift, Young. Oh. The song Taylor Swift, Young, when she's young.
Is that from her Red era?
I think it's from, it's like, it's from her era where everything was like set in a fairy tale, kind of like,
yeah, because I Lord of the Rings meets
Romeo and Juliet.
I totally get what you're saying, and I do have a few Taylor gaps, but wait, we have to address this is just my heaven, and I know this is my heaven, and no one can stop me from thinking this is my heaven, but Taylor Swift attended Lena Dunham's wedding in London, and I saw it on Vogue.com.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And Kelsey, the fabulous, yes, designer Kelsey Randall, who designed Lena's garter and among other things, famously designed my outfit for my special. So I'm right, just like feeling extra connected to my girl Lena, who I just continue to adore. I just continue. And just, yeah, Taylor just being there. Just imagine Taylor being at your wedding. It's so normal.
Yeah, it can be incredibly normal for Taylor to be at your wedding.
That doesn't do anything for you?
And no, it does. And on top for me, of it
being in London, I'm just like, it sounds so magical. She looked amazing.
Yeah, I like when celebs who used to be friends still are friends, and that's mm-hmm. why sometimes I get interested in Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato in terms of where they're at. You know what I
mean? Of course. No, like, and of
where
course.
Where are they at exactly?
Demi's in their what did they call their the mushroom shroom room? Their shroom room. Demi's in their shroom room. that was so special.
You know, their gay friend who did the doc is having his own show that Amy Solomon.
Of course, I'm following that development. So, what is that? Is that about just being friends with Demi?
I don't know. I have to look into it.
Do you think one day I'll have a show just about being friends with you and you won't be involved?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know what it is. I'm mostly going to say, remember when like the big news story was that Demi had a goth luncheon at the beach? Remember that like phase of history? That
sounds fun.
It was huge in the news maybe 7 months ago that Demi had a goth luncheon at the beach, and it was now, kind of like,
just now more than ever, fame is such a sickness. It is, yeah. Really, that's the real pandemic. She said it. I mean, fame is it's absolutely, there is nothing more humiliating than show business, first of all.
Absolutely.
And just the fact that I'm still kind of trying to be in the mix is absolutely embarrassing. I don't know what on God's green earth I'm doing next. What I was going to say, my exciting story was that my therapist told me to lean into my anxiety in the middle of the night instead of taking drugs. And so what I did last night was I popped up per usual 3:30 a.m. And then I just was casual about it. I just let my eyes be open until 7. I was like, okay, well, I'm not.
Sometimes you have to do that. You know what I sometimes, yeah, whatever.
What?
I was going to I was going to say the thing, but I'm like, you know what? Why am I saying it? But sometimes when I can't sleep and I'm in my bed, can't sleeping, mm-hmm. and I am getting so much anxiety about like the fact that I can't sleep, I'll remember times in my like crazy years where I like wasn't having a place to sleep or like was kind of, you know, being outside all night or whatever, and I'll be like, oh yeah, like I'll remember how bad I wanted a bed like at that night. I'll remember like finally getting a bed and being like, this is absolutely incredible. And so I'll be like, I'll picture those moments and I'll be like, remember how bad you wanted to lie in a bed and now you are. So then I'll try to be like really enjoy it. And when I was little, actually, I suffered from an amazing disease called like being really sad as a child, and I remember lying in my bunk bed and thinking to myself, like,
TRB, were you a top or a bottom?
We switched, but it started, you know, when you get bunk beds,
you reverse.
You're, well, when you get bunk beds, everyone wants to be top, right? That's
when you're young. When you're young,
well, that's what you get bunk beds for, is that experience of
the thrill of maybe falling off, yeah, of being a feeling untouched. Monsters can't touch you when you're on top.
And we had the famous experience, and this is a universal experience, where your cousins actually get bunk beds first, and then you want them. And so we got them from like a garage sale, I remember. And we both wanted top, and then eventually, like literally after 2 weeks, even when you're like seven, after 2 weeks, you're like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna climb up here when I'm tired. Like, this is hell. And so then we began fending over mm-hmm. bottom. Mm-hmm. And yeah, one time I woke up and I had fallen out of the top.
No.
And I
got
famous story. I got awful rug burn on my nose. It was my lasting injury. Just like, imagine all of a sudden waking up, your nose is burning, your face is in a rug, and you're like, I've fallen off the top. It's happened. It's finally happened.
Especially when you have a trademark bladder like ours, which will be the name of our hit Broadway musical, a bladder like ours. You can't be on the top. It isn't right.
No, I need to go to urologist. It's not even funny.
There must be... If there's a botanist, there must be a urologist who's tuning in right now.
A urologist needs to... I mean, I there's something wrong with me at this point.
Do you know what I'm getting cold feet about?
Your wedding.
No, that will be fine. I'm getting cold feet. I'm not...
Well, just cold feet. When you say cold feet, that's where my brain's going
to
go.
Right, but as a creative, I'm not afraid to kind of apply something, kind of mix it up emotionally.
Yeah, yeah.
I am getting a little bit of cold feet about moving into my brother's apartment.
Why? It's so nice.
I know. I think it's just like I've spent so much time. This is the first. This is the first apartment I've lived in that I'm not like dying to leave. Like,
yeah.
Every apartment before this, I've been like, if I don't get out of here this week, I'm going to lose my fucking shit.
Yeah.
Because this is my first nice apartment. And so
but
I think
wait,
I'm just feeling emotional.
Who is taking your apartment?
I'm having a friend... Well, my lease is almost up and I'm having a friend sublet for the last 2 months.
Okay. I mean, so you definitely can do this. I mean, we have to reveal you're moving truly next door.
Not yeah, even no.
Like, not to the building next door, to the actual apartment next door shares a wall with your current.
I
so
know,
you definitely.
I think it's because I slept there last night and I didn't sleep well. So now I'm like, oh, and it was cold. Mm-hmm. And I texted my brother, it was cold in your apartment. And he was like, okay.
I woke up today, it was cold in the nicest way.
I know.
Was like, and it was prohibitive for me falling back to sleep, I think. But it was like, mm-hmm. oh, wait, I forgot to tell my story about, because I remember lying in my top bunk
okay.
as a child
okay.
at like fifth grade. I remember I was like 10 and thinking to myself, I have to stay up as long as I can. Like, because as soon as I fall asleep, like, it'll be like that. And then it'll be another day and I have to get out of bed and go, you know, be a, like, I have to go see people and do things. And I don't want to do that. And so I would... try to stay awake for as long as I can to enjoy that time of like not having to go anywhere. And then when I would wake up, I'd be like, oh my god, I fell asleep and now it's the next day and I have to do this day. Oh my god, like I would get so depressed. So sometimes yeah. I think about that. I like remember when you're in fifth grade and you wanted to stay up because it felt like because it feels like when you sleep, it doesn't really count as being alone, you know what I mean? Because you're kind of not conscious, you don't notice it. It feels like a second. It feels like only a second when you're asleep. And
being depressed as a child is so haunting. Like I remember looking up in the gray sky at the supermarket and being like, one day I won't have anything to look forward to. And I was like 4. Like that is so, ooh, you know, oh my God. Whenever my parents ask me about one of my jokes, like the intricacies of it, I'm like, no, stop.
Don't. Did they do that?
Just like one time last weekend. And I was like, no.
My parents have never asked about my intricacies.
I was complaining about my body. And my dad was like, hey, it's giving you a lot to talk about.
There you go.
I'm like, that's silver light. Wait, he was making me laugh. So I already said this in the pod. The way he was making me laugh.
I don't know if you did.
We were talking about, I think I did, about Martha Graham.
I don't know who that is. Unless it's bad for me not to know who that is.
No, she's a dancer.
Oh, then I definitely don't know who it is. And I cannot. No jury in the world can convict me. I have to say this. This is free. This is free advertising, even though, I mean, we are sponsored by them. But we don't have to do. I don't want to do this. I do love Olive and June, and I've been doing them, and they do feel like gels. And I will say that I like Olive and June nail polish, and they have fun
colors. Agree, actually, because I love the new colors. I love the dark green they sent us.
Angela loves that one.
Wait, so we're all thinking it. I got an iPad, but I haven't opened it yet, which is a mental illness.
Sometimes I think to myself, should I get an iPad? Is that the answer? But it always... When I really sit down and I'm honest with myself, it feels like yeah. it's not the answer. You're kind of looking to Apple, right? Right now you're looking to Apple for a solution, and the solution
is within.
Is within. The solution is a spiritual one, and it's not one that you're going to find in the Genius Bar.
You're so right, and I'm kind of... I mean, honestly, it's just... It's all about... When I'm exercising, my life is incredibly better, and that's that.
For Christmas, I couldn't figure out what to get my dad. It was, like, December 24th, and, like...
One of the closest days to Christmas.
I ended up like being at Best Buy or something, and I just got him this kind of like tablet that was like kind of off, like it wasn't an Apple tablet, it was like a tablet that who knows what company decided to make it, and it just was random. But I was like, whatever, like who doesn't want a tablet? And then like when he opened it, I could tell he was like, this is so random and impersonal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but dads are famously impossible to buy gifts for.
Yeah, it's really
with a
tricky.
Mom, you can go for like a perfume or a candle or like a piece of jewelry.
My mom
with
almost
dad,
always.
It's like, no.
My mom almost always every year wants running shoes, and so it's like a competition of like, but it's a competition kind of because there's six of us, so it's a only really
a race,
one person,
if you will,
to who have for, to claim running shoes as the gift that we're gonna get mom, and sometimes two people will get them, like kind of go in on them.
I feel like, but I haven't seen your family in a while.
I know. I feel like I haven't seen them in a while. Actually, now that you mentioned,
do you think
that.
You'll do like a fun birthday thing because it's almost your birthday month?
I think that I will. I know. For some reason, I enjoy it because his birthday month is September and mine is October. So during your month, you always say whenever you want something and like you're not getting it. You say, it's my month. It's my month. So like right now, it's almost my month, but it's still currently Angela's month. I think that on October 23rd, the other thing about Trevor is like people know where I live now, kind of. You know what I mean?
Wait, where in Bushwick?
Well, they only live in Bushwick, but they can also kind of see literally the street I live on. Don't
no.
come here. What
no,
I will
I know.
Say
that's,
is don't come here.
That's, I don't like that.
But what was I going to say? I think I'll go to Long Island on October 23rd to celebrate my family. To celebrate my family and not me. Because on my birthday, I try to celebrate the people I love, not me.
Totally. I just want you guys to have fun. I just want you guys to have fun on my birthday.
In my mind, I'm like, we're almost done with the pod, but guest hasn't. We haven't even started it yet anyway.
Wait, but you know what in my mind is that I kind of extended my birthday and I made it last like an entire 2 months almost. We're all thinking it.
I only want my birthday last one day. What's so cool, special, and amazing about my birthday is you really know when it is my birthday because it's Halloween. So it's kind of like if you're not seeing hanging spiders, it's not my birthday. And so for me, when I do see a hanging spider, I'm like, it's my day. It's my month. It's my day. And so that is and that's a beautiful feeling because it's like, I don't necessarily even have to see anyone to feel like it's my birthday. Like, I don't have to be told happy birthday. In a way, just seeing a child in a Waluigi costume is like my birthday. But also, but then what's hard about it, and what's really hard about it, is that like to celebrate with my family wants to celebrate on the 23rd, but it's like, it's not going to feel like my day.
It's not going
to
be
like,
spidery yet.
Yeah, there's not going to be little Milky Ways being given to children.
Oh, like, fuck.
Yeah.
I love Kit Kats.
I love Milky Way. I wish
you know
I could,
what I love is the restaurant Potbelly. Sorry. Sorry.
I've never. Okay, here's
say
my.
Say it ain't so.
You're such my friend's such a Weezer fan.
I actually am.
I always remember in high school.
My friend will always remember this.
In high school, my friends liked Weezer, so I pretended to like Weezer to have friends. And they were going to a Weezer concert in Manhattan, New York, on like a Thursday, and in the school year. And my parents wouldn't let me do that, but I was like, no, I was like, I'll just ask. And they said yes. And so my mom said yes, but she like wasn't really like noticing me or paying attention to me, but she did say yes. And so then I did spend $80, which is like, I spent $80 on Weezer tickets, on a Weezer ticket. And then literally Wednesday night, the night before, my dad came into my room, and I guess they had just like kind of like repressed us. Like they just took inventory of what was going on. And my dad was like, oh yeah, you're not going. You can't go to that. And so I didn't get to go. All my friends went to the Weezer concert in Manhattan, New York, except for me.
Damn.
And the kicker, they saw the girls' coach drunk.
Oh my god!
The girls' track team was there because she was like 27, and she was like,
she sounds incredible.
I mean, her, and so literally for the rest of our lives, all anyone talked about was when they saw Melissa drunk. I mean,
oh my god,
maybe bleep out her name, even though there's a million people named that.
You know what that reminds me of is when, oh my god, and our guest just popped up his gorgeous little face. That reminds me of a quick comment. That reminds me of in high school when I went drunk to one of the football games, and my Bible study youth leader saw me there, and she knew I was drunk, and I was wearing a really cute dress from Urban Outfitters. Shout out, it used to fit me, rock and roll.
Urban Outfitters. Enough
about that. This is a guest we've been waiting to have on the pod for a million years. I've known him since I was born, from the day I was born to the day
from your mom's vagina. Be honest.
I didn't
want to
say that because I didn't want to say that.
Be honest. No, this is my
put your ears yeah. open for the fabulous Chris Murphy.
Oh my god, I feel like I've been waiting for this moment my whole entire life. It's really surreal.
You're looking so hot lately, like with the mustache. And the haircut. What's happening with you?
It's very polarizing, but I'm so like, this is all the facial hair that I could possibly ever hope to grow in my entire life. And you know what? I'm gonna live in that. I can't, not even one, not one little hair on my chinny chin chin. It just is not, it's not possible for me. So I'm going to lean into my gross little mustache.
I used to be like that and I like it better. Like I don't like having, I mean, I don't like having to shave. It's so annoying.
Shave every day? Like do you shave your chin every day?
I don't shave my chin every day, but then I do start to look dirty after like maybe 2 or 3 days or like not like I start to look like scraggly, hairs after 2 or 3 days. And
scraggly.
And it's such a middle ground because I couldn't grow a beard that would be sexually viable in any way. But so it's like, I can't just leave it. You know what I mean? It's just
you have to do something about it. You have to.
Yeah.
My anxious habit, this is actually so, I'm so happy that I'm opening with this. My anxious habit is that I literally pick the chin hairs out of my face because they're so, they like grow in so small and like they're so disgusting that I can literally like pick them out and then I like blow them into the wind like their eyelashes that like fall out and like make a wish.
Wait, not to be 100% this bitch, but I wish you would come over here and pluck out my chin hairs, because honey, sometimes it's like, I swear to god, babe, one day I'll have nothing it. And then I'll literally like sometimes they just grow so fast. I'm like, where did that even come from at this point?
Yeah. And it's usually there's like one long one. Like I'll do it, I'm so comfortable in that space, I'm happy to do it for you.
I'll never forget when I saw my friend's grandmother who had and I shout out and I celebrate this woman, a chin hair tucked into her turtleneck.
Oh my god, that was me with this woman who worked at my camp named Joanne.
That was Pat with Joanne. Secretary.
That was me with Joanne. No, it wasn't Joanne. It was
her should apologize.
It was her twin sister, Marianne. It was two 70-plus twins named Joanne and Marianne worked at my camp.
Sort of obsessed with twins. They were like adult twins, like old twins.
Oh, yeah, not only adults, but old adults. And they were twins.
Listen, okay, we know the story of boy meets girl. We all know it, okay? But what about when girl meets girl? Or maybe boy meets girl and then they together meet another girl. With Dipsy, the stories continue beyond the initial meetup. Come hear what happens behind closed doors, because everyone needs an escape. But escapes can be hard to come by, and that's where Dipsy comes in. Let yourself get lost in a world where good things happen and where your pleasure is the only priority.
Dipsy basically is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. Each Dipsy audio story features characters that feel like real people in immersive scenarios, so you feel like you're right there. Listen to stories about hooking up with your hometown crush you never made a move on, or that coworker you always had a little thing for, or maybe even a story that puts you in bed with someone who's telling you exactly what they'd like to do to you.
They release new content every single week, so there's always more to explore. You never run out. And no matter who you are or what you're into or what turns you on, Dipsy has you covered. And if you need to wind down, Dipsy actually also has wellness sessions, sensual bedtime stories, and soundscapes to help you relax before you drift off, which we all need because going to sleep is famously difficult. So for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/seek treatment.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/seek treatment. dipsystories.com/seek treatment. Oh my god, don't get me even started. Are your yoga pants working overtime? Honey, if you're wearing your go-to leggings to do more than just work out, you're not alone. Find more options you'll want to wear all the time at Girlfriend Collective. I am seriously addicted to Girlfriend Collective, so doing this ad is an absolute pleasure. Girlfriend Collective is sustainable, ethically made activewear for everyone. They make cute and comfortable bras, leggings, shorts, tanks, tees, and more. And their sizing is inclusive, ranging from extra, extra small to 6XL. So whether you're working out, running errands, or doing literally nothing at all, like me, Girlfriend Collective has functional fabrics, colors, and styles for any activity. Their best-selling leggings are squat-proof, come with pockets, and have different levels of support, whether you need compression or softness.
Join the collective today and feel good about what you buy and comfortable in what you wear. For listeners of the show, Girlfriend Collective is offering $25 off your purchase of $100 or more when you go to girlfriend.com/seektreatment. That's $25 off $100 or more when you go to girlfriend.com/seektreatment. girlfriend.com/seektreatment.
Wait, so Chris, what's going on with you? How are you? Tell us everything.
What's going on with me? Let's see. I'm sort of taking a break from just writing a profile on Say It With Me. Christy Carlson Romano.
Oh my God.
She's huge. She's made a huge splash. She's changed the face of entertainment.
Christy she Carlson literally Romano. Has.
She's changed the face of entertainment in 1 week.
Remember? No, truly.
Well, 1 week ago. 1 week ago, no one remembered. Now everyone remembers.
No one was talking about her.
I'll say what? She's getting the last laugh. People think they're laughing at her. Well, guess what? They're laughing with her.
She's taken this all the way to the bank. And you know what? I think there are some generals that are happening. I think there's some development deals. I think she's riding this wave. And I will say she's kooky. She's a kooky bird up there.
I mean, I will say I've kind of fallen off the trend of like watching per se, but I will say that when I do watch, sometimes I say the sentence to myself, she has real wisdom. She has real wisdom.
I was thinking she's kind of in a good place. Like she's sober. She's kind of seen the dark side of the industry.
She's definitely in a good place.
Oh yeah. She wants to like reach out and help people. I'm sure by the time this is up, like you can read whatever I said and whatever she said, but she's really trying to like reach out and like help the younger generation. And she's like, she's very comfortable with like where she is, which is something I've never been, so you have to respect that.
Wait, speaking of, you're right, first of all, for those not in the know, Chris writes for Vanity Fair. Ever heard of it, bitch? And I was dying at your headline about the Britney doc.
You gotta pick one.
It was how to decide how. Share the headline, Chris, with the,
which
class.
Britney Spears conservatorship documentary is right for you.
So funny, I mean,
I watched the main one that came out a little while ago, but now it seems like there's a new one every day.
Well, yeah, and that is a problem that is ultimately bad, and like it's not funny, but also like the first one did help her and now she is like basically free, so I think we should all like, that's huge. Like,
yeah,
it's sort of over, like not over, like, but Jamie Spears has been like taken away, and I had to watch both for work, and like the Hulu one is better than the Netflix one if you had to pick.
Oh, like, that's shocking. That's not normally how it is.
It never is.
Is the Hulu one the one I... No, I think
you've seen. You've seen the Hulu one.
Hulu one.
But there's a part two. You got to see part two.
Oh God. There's only part two, isn't there?
You just changed the landscape of the industry by telling me that.
I mean, maybe we'll edit this out. I don't know how bad it is to say, but I want to talk about Gabby. I want to talk about Gabby and I want it yesterday.
Oh my God, Petito. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, I know. What's going on?
The doc yesterday. I mean, he's missing still.
They still haven't found him?
Oh my God. No. Did you see Dog the Bounty Hunter like bought an airplane and then like flew like Aloha Brian Laundry around like where he's like probably missing or whatever?
Oh my God.
He's the Bethany Frankel of Bounty Hunt. I'll get a plane and I'll help. I just want to get a plane and help.
That's exactly, everyone's making that comparison. Yes.
Speaking of Real Housewives, I finally watched what I'm calling the Chris Murphy doc, which is of course the Erica Jane. So I had no idea about that situation. It is so heartbreaking. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I sort of like, before they asked me to do it, and again, like this is not sort of what I had planned for myself. Like I don't like,
how did it? Yeah. A talking head in a doc is like a very high status place to be.
Yeah.
No, I guess it was like I was writing like recaps for Vulture, and then I got hired by Vanity Fair and like Real Housewives stuff, and then I wrote an article about like how like a lot of them are criminals now, and that's like kind of fun, but that's also kind of sad. And then they were like, please do this dog about like sort of the next big criminal in the Real Housewives universe, which is Erica Jane. And I didn't know it was going to be like as sort of like, again, I'm not going to say that it's a good documentary, but I will say that some light is shown, and they do sort of interview some like people who got really absolutely destroyed by Tom Girardi and his.
Yeah, the best friends were really sweet. The women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give them a show. Give them a show. Get them on Lulu Rich the show. Get them
that
on Lulu Rich the show.
That was so good. Did you watch that?
Really, oh yeah. Oh, multi-level marketing. Come on, I love that.
Fuck. Chris, are you UTD on BH? up to date on Beverly Hills?
Oh, I didn't see this.
Our guest didn't see last night. Nothing huge.
I'll leave. I'm done. I'm sorry. I'll go.
Yeah, why don't you go? Well, I will say it's nothing huge, but the previews for next week. Isn't that a classic situation where like
wait it's for
like,
what? Not great. Sorry.
Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Classic Tale as Old as Time is nothing really happened this week, but the previews for next week look good. Next week comes around, same thing. And that's when you realize that this dragon you're chasing, you are never going to catch via reality TV. But but the previews for next week do look good. There does look like large confrontations and everyone is wearing bizarre hair choice. I mean, because there must be a theme of the part. You know when you like you see the preview and like it's like okay, there must be a theme to this, and then sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. Lisa Rinna is wearing what I could only describe as a jet black bob.
I hate her. I really don't fuck with her, but they do keep you hanging on. They keep you hanging on.
Really. Yeah, I could feel it coming close to ending with her. I mean, you can only suck Erica's cork for so long
before. Ooh, absolutely salacious statement. I love, but yeah, I think we're getting a big rebrand, or just we're cleaning up shop in a lot of franchises. And I think this part of the Beverly Hills sort of, we're gonna wipe the slate clean a little bit. And I want
the Richardses. I want Crystal. I want.
I want Garcelle. I want Garcelle. Sutton, obviously.
I want Sutton, I think, though I'm actually having to wait with Sutton because I am on her side versus... Sometimes when you're on someone's side versus someone, you actually have to wait for the dust to settle before you can, like, take a step back and be like, do I actually like this person, or was I just glad they were the ones taking the punches I need to be taken?
Okay,
so I'm not sure about Sutton yet.
We have to let the dust settle. Okay.
I think, totally yeah.
Fair. Catherine, who's your favorite?
Oh, I actually did. I made the executive decision to read a text while y'all were talking about that.
I will say that I'm with Angela rewatching early New York, which is so rewarding. And I have to say, she still comes off bad, but Kelly Bensimone comes off much better. She comes off much better in 2021 than she did in 2008. I will say
I think we're looking like a softer lens. I know her lens. From
she was jogging in the street. I know her.
yes, she was. Yes.
That's my connection.
I do think, like, if we as a society had known how to talk about mental health in, like, 2009, things could have been very different for her, but we didn't, and so her life was ruined by a television show, and that is cool and good, and ultimately how things should always be.
Being ultimately, on TikTok power. Now... Wait, sorry.
Ooh, like, what? No. That's a huge leap, but I love it.
No, it's just like, it's so, the way that like the teens are treating each other is so different. It's so radically different. Like people are literally like, bestie, you look gorgeous. Like you got this, like love your body. Like you're stunning. And I'm like, what? Why did I not get that?
But yeah. Do you sometimes think that like maybe that was happening and it just wasn't in the circles that we were a part of? Like maybe everybody was being nice to her.
No.
I guess that's fair. I guess that's like, it just literally did not exist. We were in our Mean Girl era. I mean, literally Mean Girls was very popular and we were in a Mean Girl era and we all suffered because of that.
Mean Girl comedy. All I'll say is the phrase mean Girl comedy. And if you know.
Wait, so Chris, it's time to lay it all on the line. Who were you? Who are you? And who do you want to be?
Oh my God, you'd think I would have like a really prepared answer for this, considering that I love the pod and like and love you
thank
both.
Thank you.
But no, double okay. Thank you. I do. Who was I? It's actually pretty clear because I was actually told who I was when I got in trouble at, say it with me, Stage Door Manor.
Oh, this story.
No, you're Stage Door too. I'm so sick of it.
Oh no, God, he's Pat. Like he's like the hub. He's like the center of Stage Door.
Wait, so did you guys know each other before college?
Not no. us, dude, which is actually kind of crazy because it feels like I've known you my entire.
Did you know the same?
We knew lots of the same. We knew all. We knew like Patrick Riley since for years.
He was the best friend, roommate,
and Esther Fallick and
Esther. Love Esther. Love Pat.
Wait, but for those not in the know, also Chris, and we can get into this later. But Chris is the reason why I know the love of my life, Brian, so
which
anyways.
Comes from.
Stage Door Manor. So you're at Stage Door.
So overlap. So yeah, I guess, yeah, I will say I was a loose cannon. I like, that's what I was called. They said I was a loose cannon.
Who said this? A woman in like a director's outfit?
Yes, literally a woman, like sort of like your Joanne and your adult twins. They said that to me. That person said that to me. Because, I don't know, I just like, I came out kind of early because I went to theater camp. Mm-hmm. And like, it just was such a sexually charged environment. I will never forget when friend of the pod, Jordan Firstman, told me when I was 13, he said, "You are gay." And I was like,
"Oh my God." I'm actually glad. Wow. I was gonna say, I'm going to say I'm envious that you got to come out early at stage door, but I'm actually glad and comfortable that that Jordan wasn't the one to tell me I was gay. I'm actually, I can find relief in that. I can find relief in that today.
I think we all have our own paths in mind that happened to be my path. And I was like, absolutely not. And then like 4 weeks later, I was like, okay, he had a point.
So are people going absolutely off with gay sex at stage door?
Okay. So the thing is like, yes, but also like not even like gay sex. And, like,
and how old were you at this point? You're like, you said you're 13?
I came out like, I guess the summer, I was in the bi closet. That's what they called it. Because I was like, I'm bi, but everybody knew that I was like in the closet. Like,
when did you know? Or what did you, what were you feeling? When did you first have like a sexual?
Definitely eighth grade. Like yeah. I mm-hmm. was like seventh grade. Like I definitely watched porn. I bought One Night in Paris on my family's television.
Oh my
and then
God.
Blamed it on my like infant brother and said like he pressed the remote and went away.
Oh my God, your infant brother.
Yeah, so I was always sort of like sexually forward in that way and like exploring in that, or like just like it was always on the mind. But then like eighth grade is when like I was like, oh, like all these gay people that I just thought, I used to think like I'd come back from summer camp and I'd be like, yeah, I know gay people and they're actually great. And like but then that sort of shifted to like, oh wait, I know gay people and I actually have crushes on them and I am one of them. And that
yeah.
sort of like eighth, ninth grade, I would say. The summer between ninth and 10th grade is when it really happened.
Wow, that is young. I will say that is young.
Yeah.
Especially powerful. For our gen.
Yeah, for our gen, it was, because again, it wasn't, we didn't have TikTok telling us that everything was beautiful and okay and amazing.
It's crazy. Yes.
No, I am 12 full years older than you.
That what? Can't actually be true. That's
oh, I literally believed you, and then I was like, wait,
no,
that's actually
I mean,
true.
It's close. How old are you right this second at this day as we sit?
As we sit, I am 28, and I've been 28 for less than a month. But I'm
yeah, okay. I'll be 33 soon. As soon.
So
as
you're
five
very
weeks
like
from now. I'm already 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, the craziest thing is that Pat and I are like senior freshman vibes, and you and I we're the junior freshmen. Junior freshmen.
And
me and Chris,
we're like senior eighth grade, where it's like. You're
like sister's friend.
We're sister's friend, which is interesting.
Absolutely sister's friend, which is like, I would have looked up, I would have thought you were so
sister's
fucking cool.
Sister's friend, that should be a band name for once.
Oh,
I'll always remember the opposite of sister's friend's sister. And I'll remember like her sitting with her high school friends, like studying for the like learner's permit test, being like, this is what TV is about. Like, I'm in a TV show right now. Like, I'm in it, I'm living it. I'm doing it. I'm being your teens quizzing each other on stop signs.
Oh my God. I failed my learner's permit. But okay, but loose cannon. So basically
Grace. You're Grace Bryant, you're Giselle Bryant's daughter.
I mean, literally, yes. I cannot drive. I actually really can't drive, but that's a whole other story. But
you can drive.
I can enough, but like not well. Like not well. I also went to boarding school, which compounded the issue, which also is another reason why like loose cannon vibes, like I just got in trouble a lot. So like I went to a dance, like with my friends, you know, we went to a dance. I, you know, meet this literally like when you think of the word twink, like in your head, like that's what this guy was. His name was Grayson. Grayson the twink. They don't make him like that anymore.
No, they don't.
And then we go back to we're both boys, so we live in the same dorm, and we start like hooking up in the dorm.
Oh my God. Wait. How old are you?
15 or like about
your sophomore year in boarding school.
Because when you
this is summer camp. This is 15. That now we're still summer camp.
Oh, now we're stage door. Again?
Yeah, this is stage door. We left it and then we came back to it. I realized.
But
I didn't
boarding school
like,
is like year long summer camp vibes.
Wait, yeah. So you and Grayson go to the dance.
So we go to the dance.
Lock eyes.
Kesha's probably playing. You know, it's just like it's that vibe. We go back and we start like hooking up in the boys' dorm right at summer camp. And for some reason, like...
Is there other people there?
No, they all sort of gave us our privacy, which was actually very nice of them. but somehow, like, we were on, like, the top of a bunk bed, and, like, the window was broken. So, like, some little kid saw, which I guess is bad, but like, you know, that's what you get when you send your kids to theater camp.
Yeah.
So we get like taken into the office and they're like, it is so inappropriate what you did. Like, it is so terrible. God. You guys are, you know, you're so awful. These kids are traumatized for life for seeing you guys like make out. And now you're going to get kicked out of one of the shows that you're in and you might get kicked out of the whole entire camp. And we're going to call your parents. And
we're like, oh my God.
Okay, that seems a little extreme. This camp sort of like sells itself as like a bastion of like a homosexual safe space vibes.
Yeah.
And yet you're gonna kick us out. And then all these people, including your boyfriend, Kat, I will say ally of the century, basically staged a protest. And we're like, you are not gonna kick Chris out of the camp in our show. Like,
isn't that amazing?
They were like, kick Grayson out? We don't care. We don't care about Grayson. Kick him out. Kick him, get him out. Get him out.
Oh my God. It's such a Disney Channel original movie.
It was. And we really thought we were absolutely like doing something. Like everyone thought they were like doing something. Civil rights activists, like Bayard Rustin, MLK Jr., Coretta Scott King. Like that's what we thought we were really doing something. It was like, actually, you know, we probably were breaking the rules. But the thing is, all the straight people broke the rules all the time and they never got threatened.
Exactly.
Does Brian keep in touch with Grayson?
We'll have to ask him, but I'm going to go a no on that. And Grayson, if you're listening, hi. He was really nice and really lovely.
Informative. I mean, he was formative, if nothing else.
He
was formative to Chris's sexuality and Brian's quest for a social change.
So did the camp then, like, what happened after the protest?
Yeah, so they called me, like, you're a loose cannon. They were like, did you do this so that we would tell your parents that you're gay? Were you afraid to come out? And I was
literal emotional terrorism.
No, it was emotional terrorism. And they were
Jordan
like, and
Firstman's
I was like,
in the corner being like, yeah, Chris, is that why?
Wait, I'm taking a bulldozer to stage door once and for all. I already didn't like it. Now I hear this. They're getting bulldozed. I'm sorry. Know,
there's a lot of play humor there too, Pat. You really wouldn't like it. But yeah, I was like, no, I came out to my mom on the way to Australia, the movie, and my dad found porn on my laptop earlier this year. So like, this had nothing to do with
it. We're all wondering what's Australia, the movie?
Oh my God. Do you remember Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman? It was really terrible.
Sounds familiar.
Oh, it was a bad movie. Pretty
Sounds
gay,
like a
though.
Prestige miniseries.
Absolutely. Today it would be a prestige miniseries, but we didn't have those back
then.
We didn't have that privilege.
We didn't have that language.
That medium didn't exist yet. But ultimately, I got kicked out of one show, and then I couldn't do like one like special like or like elite cabaret show, and everybody just sort of like.
What's it called again?
Oh my God!
Our time cabaret. Yeah,
that's actually scary.
I knew it.
So sad for you and for me and for everyone involved, but yeah, they like saying I got kicked out of that, but then like I got to stay at the camp, and they were like, out of the goodness of our heart, we're gonna let you stay. Like,
I'm so mad. Stage door, those who work for stage door, you've just made an enemy. And you need to be listening and reaching out and explaining yourself. If you were for stage door, you need to explain yourself why you did that to my friend Chris.
Wow. Yeah, it was crazy for once, but it was like I also got in trouble in high school, like for other gay related reasons. I don't know.
You're an activist.
Like, I'm gay, who cares? But then everybody seemed to like care all the time.
Wait, did you go to Cath school?
To be gay before TikTok. I mean, that's literally powerful.
Yeah,
TikTok. It was crazy. No, I went to like full boarding school. So like I went to like prep school, like fancy, like rich kid, like boarding school. And it was a lot. I mean, like I learned a lot, you know, boarding school is fun. Some of the, you know, the gayest things I ever saw happen between straight guys at boarding school.
Really?
Like, tell me everything.
Tell me more.
Did he have a cock?
What was he going to say?
Erica Jane's cork.
Why were they mad at why were they mad at boarding school? Because they were like, the whole system's gonna come crumbling down because our whole thing that
boarding
we based
school
our
is
whole...
one of the gayest things ever.
it really is. No, I mean, I will say I had some wrongdoing here. Like, I got like, again, I was very like a work hard, play hard. Like, I think because like, not to get like emotional or like serious or whatever, because I was like, like a Black gay kid often in these like very like upper class rich private school environments, I was like very like not sensitive. I had to be very sort of like thick skinned to sort of like navigate and like get through and just be like, yeah, whatever. And so I wasn't very sensitive to other people. So in boarding school, so like I had this like secret straight boyfriend for like, who's now like out and gay and like has a boyfriend in Austin. God. So we celebrate that. I had this sort of like secret boyfriend, not boyfriend. I mean, that's literally, that's making too much of it. But like, we used to like secretly hook up in like gym locker rooms and like, you know, dorms and shit.
Oh my God. You lived the dream.
Yeah. But dreams can turn into a nightmare.
Whoa. Wow. You heard it here first.
Yeah. She's a writer. But no, but I like, we were on the newspaper and like we had to make like a joke newspaper. It was senior year. It was like right like before we graduated, we had to make this like joke newspaper, making fun of like all the seniors and like and teachers and whatnot. And
oh my
like,
God, I'm exhausted.
I promise.
That reminds me of the iconic, hilarious Ivy Club. End of your video.
Wow, I can't believe we haven't even. That's like, yeah, there's
that's
so
the
much
next
that we've
chapter.
Shared. That's
okay,
chapter.
So you have to make a yearbook.
Yeah, so we have to make this book or whatever, or you know, making fun of people. And there's this guy who like no names will be mentioned here, who I think might also be like hooking up with the guy that I'm secretly hooking up with. Mm. And so there's like some tension there or whatever. And he was kind of annoying. He was in my grade, and
And is he out and proud to get used to it?
No, he's not out and proud and get used to it. It's not one of those things. And so in the newspaper, like he wears sort of like loud clothing. So we write, or like I write, like, oh, he changed his location. Like it was like a Facebook page. We're like, oh, remember changing a location on Facebook?
Yeah.
He was like,
oh my God, yeah.
He changed his location from somewhere in Jersey, like the Jersey Shore, to Greenwich Village.
Oh my God.
And so that was sort of taken in a sort of a.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was sort of accused of being a gay bully.
Outside of Catherine Cohen's apartment. I actually can see. I can see him right now.
I could see. I could see a teacher coming up being, you know, he's not out and proud, get used to it just yet. So you can't be saying Greenwich Village just yet about him.
You can't be saying that. And so it was a whole entire thing. I was put on house arrest. I was kicked off of all of these.
What the fuck?
It was sort of fucked up. I mean, it was crazy. I was kicked off of like all of my like positions or whatever. They said I wasn't going to be able to.
Saying that someone looked like they were in Greenwich Village.
Yes, for saying that somebody looked like they might have walked through Greenwich Village.
Was it because you were accusing him of being gay? Is that
that was the charge against me in the court of law?
Loose cannon.
They said you couldn't walk in graduation. They were going to like maybe try to send.
Oh my God!
A letter to Princeton. To get me rescinded.
Like, oh my God. It was just FYI, he knows about Greenwich Village in a sick and twisted and fucked up homosexual way. And it's unnatural. It's unnatural to know about Greenwich Village.
It's unnatural. So I end up like, you know, my whole life is like crashing down around me like weeks before graduation. And my godbrother who listens to this podcast, hey Nick Strain. He goes to, so our whole family, like 50 people are coming to see us graduate. We both go to the same boarding school. So I was like, I have to walk in graduation. So I end up meeting with this other, with a kid who I like offended on the bleachers. And he, and we're like,
please
we're
wear
up.
Short skirts, you're Greenwich Village, I'm sorry, on the bleachers.
Wait, you offended someone on the bleachers?
No, the kid that I offended in the newspaper, we meet at the bleachers. We meet to talk it out, okay?
Bleachers are so iconic, and then they're just gone once you grow up.
You never see them ever again.
I want
again.
Bleachers in Greenwich Village. It's not such a nice idea.
Honestly, we could make it happen. So
you know what this is? Sorry.
Oh, no, you go.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just saying that we're the only place bleachers like rear their ugly head in adult life is kind of that like island in Times Square where there's red bleachers and it's like Broadway.
Yeah,
it's Broadway TKTS. And you guys know about it. You guys know about it because it's Broadway.
TKTS. If anyone knows about that, it's us.
What's the deal? You just sit there and you wait for someone to come sell you tickets for cheap? Is that what those red bleachers are?
You take pictures and you buy the tickets under the bleachers. So it's and then you wait for your show and you sit on the bleachers as you wait to go see the show.
with your friends, and you guys all came in from Jersey. You walked from Penn Station. You're wearing big coats. Like, that's what you do on those bleachers, Pat.
I never knew what people did on those bleachers.
I'm shocked you even know about those bleachers, honestly, that you, like, have any idea that they existed.
From an early age, I've walked by those bleachers and been like, what the fuck now? What the fuck now is going on with these?
What the fuck? Oh, my God. Okay, so we were on the bleachers, and, like, I thought we talked it out, and he was going to be like, I forgive Chris to the, like, the principal or whatever. And he was like, yeah, it's so great that we talked. I do think that we need to talk in my room alone.
No.
Oh, my God.
After the McPherson barbecue, just to really get some clarity. And I was like, okay, but redacted. Like, we talked. Like, we've done this. Like, we said, like, whenever. He was like, no, like, you have to come. If you don't come to my room after the McPherson barbecue... and this is right before I go on house arrest, then I'm not going to go back and tell the principal that I forgive you. And so I tried to tell, like, my, like, drunk old housemaster, who is, like, this, like, amazing teacher, 80-year-old man who's, like, always drunk, like, hey, like, this kid, like, he's, like, sort of, like, he's saying that I have to go to his room if I want, you know, and spend time with him in his room, to get him to, like, say that I didn't do anything wrong. And the drunk old man, my professor or teacher, was like, you know what? Like, we did everything that we can for you. Like, we stood up for you. If he says go to his room, you should just go to his room.
What is he?
Who is in charge of these institutions? I mean, literally.
They're all literally fucked up, but I had some really good times. So, yeah, and you know
what
I
did? Did you go to his room?
So then did you get to walk at graduation?
I did go to his room. And
what did you do there? You sick little fuck.
I did what I needed to do to walk in graduation. And you know what? Oh, I walked. But I didn't get to go to prom. He went and apologized. And he told the principal, like, that he forgives me and that we worked it out. And they were like, you know, even though he forgives you, you still can't go to prom.
So dare I ask what happened? What happened?
Oh, no, we had sex.
Wait, fully?
Oh my God! After all that, insane.
I can't believe he. I think it was he fucked me.
And this is the person who's not out.
Yeah. It was a.
That is sad.
Am I gonna get sued for? Well, I didn't say.
No, you didn't say who it was.
I didn't say who it was, and that's
damn. That's an insane
true.
Story. I cannot believe I haven't heard that. And then for him to not let you go to prom.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That wasn't his choice. It was like the higher ups. But yeah, it was like it just like things like that kept like again like I was happy. I had friends. I like.
You are the most, you have always been the most popular person I've ever met. Like, did you feel like when you got to college, it was like you had all this baggage or was it like fresh start?
It was like fresh start. It was like, oh, I'm so excited to like be free and be somewhere where I can like make all the rules and that I don't have to like be under anyone's thumb and that authority figures like aren't like on top of me all the time. But then I think I like obviously took that too far at the beginning and like ended up being like truly insane. And
were
like,
you, did you?
You, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I got.
I mean, just in terms of partying or what?
In terms of partying.
I mean, yeah.
I went to the hospital like twice freshman fall.
Oh
football.
My God.
Remember?
Well,
I was,
you know, we have that in common fault. Because, no, one was my fault because.
One was Catherine's fault.
Because we were in an amazing rock and roll co-ed a cappella group together that thought this, and this would never fly now, but like, they hazed the newbies in such a way that like, I was literally going shot for shot with like, senior guys who were like these man. Really fucking hot senior guys. No, but like they would get us so fucked up that I had to go to the hospital. Like it's so scary to think about now. Like I'm so glad we're okay. And I'm glad they don't do this anymore. But like we were hazed. That's like that is how I mean. We were hazed in such an insane way. Like we would get so fucked up and it was not fun or cool.
Yeah. It was crazy. And I think I was so ready. And it's all happened because I think after like these sort of like weird experiences at these institutions that I like liked but also like hated me but also like celebrated me. I was like,
yes.
I'm gonna go to college and I'm just gonna like fucking kill it. And then I just like it was too much too fast. And I
but you did went. Kill it.
Yeah, I like it's weird. I think I like look back fondly. I have like mostly good memories. Like
oh,
it
me
definitely
too.
Definitely was like a formative and like fun a fun time. And like it I don't know. My boyfriend from that era was, you know, we wish him the best wherever he is.
So you guys are on good terms, right? Or no?
Haven't spoken in 5 years.
Wow. Same with my college boyfriend. He didn't.
What was his deal?
He was like really smart and amazing dancer, very hot, like really but kind of cold. Like, yeah, they're amazing.
Can I say boring?
Yeah, that's actually sort of the word that like I used cold as a euphemism for like boring.
Sorry, I meant, and of course I meant cold.
No, I don't want to just drag all these people. No, he was really great at the time. And like, it was really, I'd never had like a boyfriend before because it was all like secretive or like summer camp stuff. So it was really, it was a very great first relationship. That
are you verse? Course. Are you V T or B?
I'm V. I'd probably say 60 B, 40 T.
That's incredible. But that's incredibly V.
Yeah, no. If we're crunching the numbers, I definitely lean
which we B, are. Which
a lot of people will say V, and they mean like truly 1585.
Oh
one
no,
way,
no,
one
no.
way or the other.
Definitely 60, 40, 70, 30, B to T. But I do, beautiful. You know. It was, I like it all. What can I say?
Not to transition into who are you, but yes, are you, please. Are you still dating that person?
Yes.
So let's dive in because.
For the longest time, I didn't know if you were dating that person. It was hard for me.
It was hard for everyone because first of all, you had that college boyfriend and then this is your first relationship since then that's been like.
Serious.
And now you're so happy and in love. And like, even my parents this weekend were like, Chris seems so happy and in love. Like, they seem so enamored with each other. Like, it's so nice to see. Like, absolutely. You guys have such a good vibe right now.
Yeah. Now, what's his deal?
Okay, his deal. And we can actually say his name, John.
Share what you're comfortable with. Hi, John.
No, I remember seeing John, like, you know, when I first came into awareness of him was, I believe, brunch. New Year's Day 2018 brunch. She was there with you. And I was like, who is this guy?
Well, that's the crazy thing is that like, actually we've known each other for very long, but we met Pride 2017 accidentally. Wow. I was going to meet up with our friend of the pod, Merrick, at a party. I was obviously late.
Shout and out.
Wait, who?
Merrick.
Oh, I thought you said Nick. I was like, I've never met anyone.
No, Merrick, your ex.
My ex, Merrick.
I was meeting up with him at some like gay dance party, and obviously he did not wait for me to get there. And like some of our friends, they were inside. So I was like rolling up alone.
Where was this? At the Jane Hotel?
Oh my God. If only. No, it was a lady fag party. Can we say mm-hmm. that on this? Okay. Yeah. It was, I think it was Holy Mountain. Like, it was like a warehouse near Penn Station, which is like, you know.
Stunning, breathtaking, gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Where else would you want to be at, you know, at a moment like that? So I like cut the line and I end up cutting like right next to John. And the line is so long that we're literally outside for like 3 hours.
Oh my God.
Just sort of like talking and wondering if we're going to get in. And he's meeting his friends inside. And then Pat Riley, who we mentioned, mm-hmm. best friend ever, he meets up with us and cuts the line with us. And then we all end up going to like Barracuda. And then like John and I have a one night stand. And that's like how it begins.
Wow.
Now, is John a little bit older even than me?
Oh, yeah. It's funny that you said 12 years older before because he's 11 years and like 9 months older than I am.
Wow. That's kind of hot.
I think it is. But that's so I think one of the reasons why it like took so long for us to like seriously date is because I was like 23 and he was 35 when we met.
Oh, my God. So, that is so hot. It's crazy to me.
Well, it was so hot to like,
that's
you know,
crazy to my friend.
23, 35. No one ever talks about 23, 35 in the gay world, but that's That's a hot setup. That interval is a hot interval.
It's a hot interval. I think we're approaching another hot interval because I'm 28 and he's about to turn 40.
That's a more familiar gay interval. That's hot. That's kind of like held on a pedestal. Like this is the hot interval. Whereas like, and so, which is great for to be there and to be like, yeah, I'm there. But 23-35 is not something that's talked about a lot, and I think it needs to be.
Yeah, it's not talked about as much. But it was because it's, and you know what, Pat, you really touched on something that is so important and seminal about gay culture. Because it is not talked about and it's not represented, I did not feel comfortable embarking on a relationship at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, representation matters, people. Okay.
I think by being someone who comes from that interval, you are inspiring.
You're
so
lighting the way.
Yeah, you're lighting the way for both 23-year-olds and 35-year-olds to partake in that interval for once.
Now, let me ask, how many like How many iterations of you and John were there until this most recent, like, we're actually doing this, we're boyfriends, like, it's all happening?
Well, the thing is that, and this is something that I, like, really love about him, because I do love him. I hate when I say that, but it's true.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I just, you know, as earnest sentimentality is weird for me, but I will say, like, he never
Honey, it looks good on you. You wear it well.
He never really, like, left my life. Like, there'd be some times that we would see each other more and sometimes less, and there were, like, a couple moments where I was like, we can't really see each other anymore because, like,
this interval is just not okay.
This interval is not accepted by society. They won't let us be. But he was, like, always so, and he was always like, look, like, I like you. I like spending time with you. Like, I, whatever you want to do, like, if you want to go run off and be young and, like, you know, have group or, like, you know, or, like, ignore me or whatever, like, go do that. But, like, if you want me to, like, come to one of your shows, or if you want to come over, if you need help with your taxes, or, like, no, like, a lot of
the last one was weird. The last one was weird. Wait,
one of these things is not like the other.
The other that is, if you need help with your homework, please don't hesitate. I'm really good with quadratic. What was I gonna say? Wait, so is that the space you were in the brunch at New Year's Day 2018 when I first? Because it was the kind of thing where, you know, you meet this other person, and it's like, okay, and not enough information is being given, where I'm like, are they dating or not? No one's revealing this to me right now.
I mean, nobody, I guess we were always dating, but it was like an open, like, thing where it was like, we could see other people. I was seeing other people. He says that he wasn't really, but, like, I'm sure he was. Like, we just didn't really, like, communicate that much, but, like, we, like, would go on dates, and, like, he'd come in, he's seen Cap and Show 80 trillion times, you know?
As the good Lord intended.
If he's so lucky, we're also lucky. But, like, so he was always in my life, but, like, he there, and I'm very grateful for this. Like, he allowed me the space to sort of, like, be young and 20 something in New York, and, you know, but, like, wasn't smothering, but also was, like, always there. So, like,
yeah, that's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, and he's, like, he's a lawyer. He's, like, he lives in the Bronx. He's a public defender. He's, like, a good, he's, like, a good, he's a good person. He's not in the industry, which I think I personally need. Like, just
mentally healthy.
I remember that he lives in the Bronx. Do you think you'll go there?
Well, that's, like, the question. That's the $1 million question.
You just got your own place.
I just moved to Brooklyn. I just got my own place.
Are you loving it?
I love it. I love it. I mean, the thing that's hard is that, like, it, like, he lives far up.
Yeah, that's commute.
It's a full 45 minutes, great for a podcast episode. So that's where I do some of my best podcast listening.
Wait, it's only 45 minutes from downtown Brooklyn to the Bronx?
Express trains. We both live
get the right train, baby.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So
you should move into my apartment when I move into Billy's.
Honestly, that would be truly the dream. I also, like, shout out to Billy. We love Billy.
I know. I'm so happy for him.
So happy for him. We got to see a show.
You know who me and Angel were both feeling very warm towards?
Who?
Charlie.
Oh, my baby.
We're feeling very warm towards him at the
That
event.
Makes me so happy. Yeah, I'm trying to convince him to move to New York as well. It's my youngest brother.
He's got to. And do you know who really hit it off at the event? John and Charlie. John and Charlie.
Wait, John was at I didn't see John at the event.
I know. I barely saw you at the event.
Yeah, I know. The event was a lot for me. I struggled at the event.
I had the worst.
I have to say this. I said, I'm struggling at the event, literally, like, nonstop struggling at the event.
Nonstop.
Literally doing my best I can at this event to, like, just be at the event. Literally.
That friendship is, like, me knowing that that's not your kind of event, but that you still were going to come through for me and my family.
Totally.
That, honestly,
I had to see Ellen J.
You
had to rock and roll with them. Now, Chris, who would you say you are now? Because, you know, I've seen many iterations of your life in New York, from Broadway Naked. What was it called? Broadway Bears.
Naked Boys Singing. Baby.
Naked Boys Singing. To now full time staff writer at the Chicest magazine.
Yeah, it's all so crazy. It's so random. I was, like, and again, I know Pat will be triggered by this. I was, like, a theater kid. I graduated from college, and I was like, I'm going to do musical theater or theater in general. And as Kat has famously said, musical theater does ruin lives. And
but you did do some musicals.
Yeah, I did. I did, you know.
Wait, Naked Boys Choir you were in?
We have to get into that. Wait, I'm getting water. Don't be mad at me. Explain Naked Boys Singing to Pat. I'm getting water.
Yeah, no, we have to get into this. And I guess this is all part and parcel with the pod. But I did, like, you know, off-Broadway shows. And one of the last shows that I did before the pandemic and before my life sort of changed forever was I was like a cast member in this like off-Broadway show, like rinky dink, like very sort of low budget show called Naked Boy Singing that had been running for like 20 years where like six gay dudes sing musical theater songs naked.
And did you have to show it all?
Show it all the whole time.
Oh my God.
Totally in the buff. I will say like I did work out a lot of that time. Not that that matters, but like it was very like, it was actually, that was like the last thing I did before I started doing like stand up and like comedy. Cause I was like, okay, if I can like get up on stage, kick out and like belt an F and be okay with that, then like I can probably get up on stage and like hold a microphone and like say what's in my head.
So two questions. Are you very comfortable with your body?
Not very. I think I was always so self-conscious about being, as we now call them, short king. Like, I'm not tall. I'm a tiny person, you know, in terms of like literal height. Small, dark, and dense. That's what Giddy Nathan, friend from college, we used
friend
to call
of the
each
pod.
Other. Friend of the pod. We used to call each other. We were small, dark, and dense. And that
two
was something
hunks.
That, like, but it took a while. Like growing up, like I was like, oh, like I'll never be a leading man. I'll never be hot. I'll never be like, you know, a sexual being. I'll always be cute or like, you know, small as a button. But then like, I don't know. I think like getting out of like these little bubbles where like, and then like sports don't matter and like getting out of college and whatnot and like being like, oh, there's actually like so many people and everyone's hot and beautiful and cool. Like I sort of like, and once I realized I was like, wait, I'm literally never going to grow anymore. Like there's nothing, unlike Catherine's boyfriend, who, lest we say again, I did introduce her to Brian.
Shout out Bry Styles,
best friend from stage door, who took, as we know, HGH to grow tall into the big strapping hunk of a man that he is.
Why he's nice.
He is nice because he was going
to
be.
Because he was so tiny.
And that's why he can never compete in the Olympic Games. Because he's.
That's the only thing holding him back.
He did drugs to get there.
Because he did drugs. And I used to
It was in a burrito, Pat.
Hey!
Is that upsetting? The girl.
It is upsetting. It's also upsetting to me.
We still don't know enough.
You know, she just posted on Instagram for the first time since.
Oh wow!
It's good to get back out there.
She just posted like a picture of like the mountains and said like essentially nature is healing,
which it is.
Sure.
No lies detected. My new joke is saying no lies detected.
It's really landing with me. It's really
it is landing with you.
It absolutely just hit. I wasn't like a super comfortable, but like I sort of grew into that. I was like, oh wait, I'm never gonna grow, so I might as well just enjoy this body that I have.
My first of all, sports, do you said sports don't matter? Sports matter. Secondly,
that is true.
No, secondly, about Naked Boys Choir is, why did they do that? How come they did that? Like, what were they trying? Ultimate question is, what were they trying to prove?
The thing is like,
that nature is healing.
We simply don't know. It was a lot of like sort of like older sort of, you know, I won't say skeevier, but seedier gay men in the audience. And then like bridal parties and you know, bridal showers and whatnot. It was definitely a weird time in my life where I sort of was questioning every decision that led up to that point. But I did have fun and I did meet some like very nice and talented, you know, naked boys. And it did sort of like, I think, launch me into being like, guess what? I sort of can do whatever I want and I'm just going to do whatever I want, which I think led me to like comedy, which led to writing, which has led to Vanity Fair. I do think I'm the only person with Anna Wintour's number in their phone who was in Naked Boy Singing. I think I was.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Now, I feel like we did ask this and then like didn't quite let you answer. How did you and John say, weapons down, let's do this thing?
Okay.
Let's jump in and let's dive in. Let's not care about the risk. And if we get hurt, sure. That's what life's about. But I want to take the chance with you tonight.
Well, that's actually crazy. That's actually verbatim what we said when we did it. So it's crazy that you knew that. But it was really like last summer. I will say like right before the pandemic, we were like heating up. I was like, okay, like he might be the guy for me. Like,
if I may interject, New Year's Day 2020, me, you, Brian, sushi restaurant on 8th Avenue. I think I'm gonna give it a go. And I say,
oh, New Year's Day is keep going back.
And what I
next.
Say, what I said was, I think I'm gonna try and do sober January, but this day doesn't count. And you said I'm gonna be in love, and I was like, okay, well. And then the world shut down. So anyway.
And then the world shut down. So it wasn't like a pandemic relationship. That was a great deal. But like, it's just heating up. And then over the summer, like, I quarantined for like 3 months at home with my family, which was lovely. Love them. It was great. But then at a point I was like, I have to get out. Like, I want to get out. And we went to the Catskills with his like lawyer friends for like the better part of a month. And like, really, we'd never spent like truly like 4 weeks of time together, like uninterrupted. Like, it was always like, I'll go to your apartment like once this week or four times, you know, whatever it was. So like, that was sort of like, I don't know. I don't want to say like a trial run, but I was like, oh, like, I actually like really like enjoy and can and want to spend like a lot of time with this person. And then from then on, it was sort of like on like Donkey Kong, if you will.
I will.
I won't not.
Show me the lie.
No lies detected.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so now, and tomorrow, tomorrow I fly to St. Louis to meet his.
Oh.
For the first
meet
time.
Meet the Parents, starring Ben Stiller and John. And Ben Stiller's coming.
Robert De Niro, too.
And his name is John. God. And his name is John.
Can you
Bonker.
Milk me, John's mom? I have nipples, Greg's. What's his name? John's mom?
Ultimately, can John's mom milk us at the end of the day?
Since we do have
nipples. Title of Ep.
Some milk us. Now wait. So who do you want to be? What is this all building towards? What do you want out of this stupid little thing that I call life as a nickname? The stupid thing I call life as a stupid little nickname for what we're doing right now.
Life or something like it.
Yeah.
What's life short for?
That's Life-ina? Definitely on NBC right now. That's like primetime television. I like, it's so funny. It's like I think the thing that I love the most about my life, and the thing that I hate most about my life, is that I feel like I do like a lot of random things, mm-hmm. and it's not just like one, like, and Kat used to be like, you have some of the worst friends I've ever met. And that was, and is, can be
true. Me and Billy are both savage when it comes to that.
Absolutely.
That's just because
savage.
You are so, because you're so warm and generous to everyone. Some people who are annoying as fuck make it too far into the inner circle sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree. And I think it, with time and wisdom and age, has sort of helped me sort of like separate the wheat from the chaff in that way, in terms of like, okay.
You've made many strides.
I know how to assert myself. I don't care if everybody likes me. And it's like, I want to do, it's like, I definitely like, I love writing and I like, I really like, I have this Vanity Fair thing is like new and I definitely want to do it. Like, I don't think I'm editor vibes. Like, I don't think I could like, ever just like fix other people's writing and then like send it into the world and not get credit. Like, I do want to be like
Geosev.
Yeah, we love Geosev. But like Geosev, and we've talked about this, like, I also like, and Kat knows, like, I like to be on stage. I like to perform.
Yeah, you're a
I like
star.
To be Yeah, I want to be in the documentary.
Charisma is off the charts. Yeah. Show me the lie.
Yeah, like, I want to do it all. So it's like, I want to write, you know, and like you, Pat, like, for TV one day, maybe.
Shut up. I don't write for TV. I write for streaming.
And we one day, maybe you can transition that into
one day. Like, we have to make that distinction. But yeah, I'm really happy with sort of being like, yeah, no, I do, like, I write for Vanity Fair. I'm getting to talk to the randomest people, and they're sort of like, the world's my oyster in some ways. And like, but that's also not forever. Who knows? That might not be forever. And then I do, not to bring it back to plays, but I want to Al Roker it one day.
Yes. And
now remind me what he did with a play.
He dropped in. For a three-week run.
In Waitress. He's so famous as a weatherman that he was like, I want to be in Waitress for like 6 weeks. And then he got to do that. So like, I definitely, like, I'll do a play again at some point, probably not Naked Boy Singing, but I would like to do one, like Al Roker it and just like get really good at be like a thing somewhere else. And they're like, yeah, let him do the play for 6 weeks. Like, that's fun.
Cut to Al Roker and Naked Boys Singing for like 4 weeks and two, next year.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Buck naked.
Buck naked Al Roker fucking belting his tits off. I love that.
A huge part of childhood is being like, wait, is it butt or buck naked?
And that is a massive part of youth.
And then someone says buck, and you're like, what does that mean? They're like, oh, no.
Nah, it doesn't really. That is a huge part. Figuring that out is a huge part. And I, like, don't want, like, traditional, like, read John and, like, life and love and who knows, you know. I want to feel supported but never constricted, right? So it's like, you know, and like, I don't know, I've been going to a lot of weddings recently and I've had so much fun at every wedding, but I can't imagine a wedding at this, at any, like, I just like, it's so hard to, like, you know, the traditional confines.
Drunk kids, the shoes. Just kidding. Kids are things.
Okay, so I always thought, like, of course.
Kids, the shoes. Just kidding. Kids, the things.
I want kids and kids. No, I like, the thing is, like, I, like, definitely, like, so I always assume, like, of course I want kids. Of course, I have, like, I'm two amazing siblings. Like, I love my, you know, that's a great thing. But, like, John has god kids. And they're like three, they're two twins and a little boy. They're, so they're three boys and they're all under the age of five and they're adorable and so much fun, but it's like, it's your whole life. It's like,
it's
your whole fucking life. And it's one of those things where, like, it's kind of nice, you know, dropping in and dropping out and getting all the good and, like, you know, dinks, being a dual income, no kids, being a dink.
Dinks, baby. I haven't heard that term in so long.
My theology teacher, Deacon Hanley, taught me that term for no reason. For no reason, he taught us that term in class one day.
What was his damage? Like, why did he say that?
I don't know. He was so weird. But I will say about Deacon Hanley is that he made notes on the board in the weirdest way where there was all these arrows and stuff. And I hated it. Like, the way he did it, I was like, this cannot be followed. But to this day, that's how I take notes.
Wow, okay. Deacon Hanley.
He knew what he was fucking talking vibe. About.
Caught a vibe.
Baby, are you going for the ride?
I absolutely love. So yeah, I'm like sort of like, I want to do a little bit of everything and like not ever be forced or constricted again for one second in my life.
Never stop exploring North Face.
Yeah. What a log line. What a tagline.
It's honestly true. I'm never going to stop exploring.
when it comes to North Face, no lies detected.
This is becoming lobotomista.
To be like, when it comes to North Face, no lies detected, out of context.
That's
damn.
The title of that. That's
Now the question is, of course, do you feel hot today?
Okay. I'm gonna go yes, because I was rocking like sort of like a long, I was experimenting for the first time in my whole entire life with long hair all summer.
Yeah.
And I just sort of like chopped it. Thank you. It needed some work, but I do think I have the potential to do that again. Totally. But like, I recently chopped it like high and tight fade and I'm like, I'm into it. I feel like a lot of do you look hot today is like, how does your hair feel?
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
But we have to address what you're wearing.
Oh my God. Can you tell?
So if you were a cool kid at Princeton and you wrote for the NAS, you got this sick ass sweatshirt that is still cool today. So shout out to I never wrote for it, but remember guy?
You easily could have. I mean, you definitely, remember it's like spiritually
guy,
you did.
That guy I kissed.
Oh my God. I do remember that guy. I remember the
and
drama
more,
with that.
The guy I kissed and more.
The guy you kissed and more. We, you know, wish him nothing but the best.
He's married now.
Oh, I can't stop thinking about the literal porn story of like, you need to let me fuck you if you want a great dream.
I know, it really is crazy.
Will bottom for grad. Will bottom for degree.
Actually bottom for degree, and I have no regrets.
From bleachers to bedroom, just like, you know, making you. That's
my autobiography title, maybe. Maybe that's from it. But I am. I'm also rocking, as you said, the Princess Diana look, which is like sweatshirt and shorts. So I do feel hot today.
Oh,
you're
going to
be, you might be a little chilly because I think it's a little bit blustery today, which is iconic.
Ooh, and I'm so excited for the fall time. For my month.
I don't feel hot today because I got 3 iconic hours of sleep and not in a fun way. And my hair is filthy, but it does look kind of cute, just sort of
in a messy way, like in a messy
like
bun.
I don't care, like the thing is, if I do, I eventually want us to like post video clips of the podcast online, but I always look so unbelievably crazy that I would lose what fans I even have at this point. Okay.
Your hair reminds me of the episode of Made, MTV's Made. You're too young, you won't even remember, where this girl, she wanted to be made into like, kind of made into like knowing what she wanted to do with her career or something.
Same. That's what I want.
She had that same hair, and she tried a few different jobs. One of them was masseuse, but she was making her people she was massaging laugh so hard that she realized she wanted to move to Chicago and pursue comedy.
Oh my God. This is my origin story.
When MTV characters at the end of the episode, when they do like a, where is she now? She was like, you know, in improv class in Chicago. And then I did look her up maybe like 5 years ago to be like, where's that girl? I actually loved her and thought she was so funny. And
SNL.
She was no and that
Sarah Squirm.
No, she's like very into her church in Chicago, and she's like,
oh, that's
the Lord and Savior.
Wait, speaking of Sarah Squirm, I'm so fucking excited for her. It gives me faith in the world that someone who's that funny and nice gets to be on SNL. I'm just so
happy
for her.
What are the best news? It's fantastic.
Pat, do you feel hot today?
No, because I do need a haircut. My hair is just a weird shape right now, and that's okay. We knew this was going to happen. Like, when I first got this haircut, we were like, it's going to grow into a weird shape. And we were like, we'll see that B when we G to it. And
B to Terabithia.
No lies detected.
North face.
So I don't. And I also like wanted to run before this, and I like woke up a little too late, and I just, Angelo had a gig at, he had to be somewhere at 10 a.m. and I was like, I'm waking up when you wake up. Then I wake up, it's 10:30 a.m. And not that I just like didn't do the things I was like meaning to do when I got up, because I didn't wake up in time, and that's leaving me with a sense of like, what are you even good for, a Pat trick? So whatever, I don't feel hot for those reasons.
Well, and do we have any crushes of the work?
Sarah Squirm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Sarah Squirm is my crush. Is there anything else?
Oh, you know who my crush of the week is? My crush of the week is Charlie Kovic.
Charlie moved
to New York. Wait,
my other crush of the week is Michelle Collins.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Just seeing her was so nice.
I sat next to her at your show, and we had the literal best time of our lives. It was so fantastic. She's so fucking funny. And
it's
cool.
Crazy. It's like, crazy.
One
it's
of the really good crazy. Ones.
I know.
She was in my dream last night.
Oh, she's amazing. And I will say, Pat, I thought you were mad at me at the event because I barely saw you at the event.
No, I knew that everyone was mentioning that.
He was mad
like,
at the event.
I was mad at the event, and I was really struggling with like kind of feeling when you could like move around conversations. Like I felt like I was not able to like, there's a very specific word I can't think of right
Flow.
Now.
Mingle, Trans- mingle, and- mingle.
No.
That's a good one.
No.
No.
I detected a lie.
That's not North Face.
Yeah, you're the opposite of North Face right now.
South butt.
Are you mad at me, Catherine?
Not even close. Are you mad at me? Are you mad at me?
No.
Oh, thank God. Chris, are you mad at me after everything?
No, I'm always a little afraid that you're mad at me. And I almost did. Yes, Pat, I'm always a little afraid.
Which one? Not me.
Yes, you. Yes, you.
What?
Always. I don't know why. But also now I never. And I'm never mad at you. And like, I couldn't be if I tried. But I did almost do a play I didn't want to do in college because I was afraid you'd be mad at me.
Oh my God, which one?
Triangles. Your last triangle. I like booked it, and then I was like,
not do Triangle, Catherine.
Wait, which one was that? So you did it or you didn't do it?
I didn't do it. I auditioned just because I didn't want you to be mad at me.
Oh, that's sad, but beautiful. That's sad, but beautiful.
And then I got it, and then I left. But no, I'm not. I could never be. I'm not mad at you at all.
Likewise. I could never be mad at you. I've loved you forever. Your family. What can I say? I'm on a Zoom with three of my literal blood relatives right now, and that's all I can say about that.
And that is North Face.
And that's our app. And follow Chris's writing at Vanity Fair and beyond. Chris Stress online.
Yes.
And anything else?
Nothing else.
I think that's it.
And good luck this weekend with John's fam and John's
mom. Oh my God.
I will call in.
Good luck.
You know,
good luck being milked.
I want to go. Milked
in the Midwest.
That's the title of that.
I wish I could go to St. Louis.
I don't.
I don't either.
Like to get on a plane just to go to St. Louis, hard.
That's the hill.
What I mean by that is I want to be anywhere besides where I am right now. And yeah. St. Louis is part of that community because I'm yeah. there.
The idea of an airport.
Wait, Chris, yeah. are you like, is it like a back on Monday, back on Sunday vibe?
It's back Monday night vibe.
Oh, damn, that's like a long one. That's
it's a like
long
a long one. It's a full.
Are y'all staying with the fam or hotel?
Oh, no, we're staying with the fam.
Wow.
It's his 20th high school reunion. So
oh,
like
my. Okay, so Romy and Michelle, get the cameras rolling. It's,
yeah, we're going to post it.
Literally. People will come up, the popular girls will come up and be like, John, and is this your boyfriend? What an interval. Yeah.
And then they're gonna walk away, and they're yeah. So I'm really bracing myself for like all of everything, everything that might transpire.
Oh my god!
They're gonna walk away, and then you're gonna be like, oh my god, John, you do have magnets on your back.
Sound bite.
You're like, oh my god! That's my favorite. I was almost saying Michelle Kudrow. One of my favorite Lisa Kudrow sound bites is just like her realizing she has magnets on her back and being like, oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh my god. How she knows the formula for glue because she's like literally a scientist. Like she was the best. She's one of the best.
She improvised that, I believe. She improvised
she had that knowledge in her head. Which we love.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
All right, bye. All right,
well,
guys.
Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you
everyone. And rock and roll and seek treatment, everyone. Good night, everybody.
Bye. It's so fun. Seek treatment. If you're boring.